Thank you so much for being here tonight. It's truly a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to speak the gospel before you. It seems like I've been gone for a while, and everybody must have got tired of Albert Dixon. That's why nobody's not here tonight. So, but I hope you enjoyed Albert. He's a wonderful man. I was hoping to be up here with you Friday, but unfortunately, that just didn't happen. It wasn't in the cards. Just to let you know what I did, I slept from 6 o'clock till the next day. So I must have been pretty tired. But it's great to be with you here tonight. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of you. And I hope the things I say here will be encouraging and edifying to you. It's great to have visitors with us, and we hope that you'll come back again at any time. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit what Chuck read there in Acts chapter 2 from the prophet Joel. Up there, I have a radar map there from of Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And when you look at that, you would probably say, oh, no, Jay, are you telling us we're going to get some more snow this week? Or, oh, no, Jay, we're getting some more rain this week? But this is not snow and this is not rain. This map is back in 2019. And this map is the radar reading of dragonflies that came throughout the area. And it just shows you how much of a thicket there are, how enormous of the swarm it is, and how possibly devastating it can be if this was something that would just tear up vegetation. And the reason why I bring this up is just to give you a little glimpse of a couple things if I can. One, when we read about the plagues of Egypt there in the book of Exodus, we get an idea when it comes to the lice and the frogs and the locusts and some of the other things that we read there. It gives you an idea how thickening and enormous this can be. Also, too, if you follow along in the book of Joel, you also see that he brings up something concerning locusts. And as you see the devastation that locusts can bring, it also reminds us, too, of how dangerous it could be when it comes to all the other things happening to the north or southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem. And the reason why I bring up these examples is we got to realize that Joel is bringing a message to you and I, and how important it is to understand the things that Joel is speaking to the people in Jerusalem, and how Peter uses this example for us to realize about the Christ that has come. And hopefully the things that I tell us here, or we talk about here, there's only 3 chapters in the book of Joel. And it only probably takes about 10 minutes to read tops. But there are some very interesting things that we could pick up from Joel that we may fail to realize how important it is to look at the way we see things in life, how a child of God should see things in life, and if we're not careful, how we could easily fall away just like the people of Israel. So if you would, I just wanted to point out some of the things that I picked up when it comes to the book of Joel. One of the things that was brought up was there was a message to be told. If you look there in the first chapter in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers?" And he's telling us that there are some bad things happen at one particular time and how we should never forget these bad things happening. Maybe some of us could still remember that day in September 11th, 2001. And one of the things I found interesting, my son Carter just had a birthday yesterday. He's 21 years old now. And the thing is, they don't realize how tragic that day was because it wasn't around at that time. And maybe some of us can remember December 7th, 1941, where Pearl Harbor was attacked by Japan. And think about how when we look through our calendar, we see very tragic things happen. And we're reminded not to forget these things because we don't want history to repeat itself. And you see where it tells us there in verse 3, he goes, "Tell your children of it. Let your children tell their children and their children to another generation." Sometimes I have to ask myself, have we indoctrinated our children never to have a bad moment? And I'm not trying to be ho-hum or blum-gum here. I don't want us to think that we always should have bad moments, but realize that bad moments will happen to you and I. There is going to be tragedy in our lives. There is going to be conflict in our lives. There is going to be difficulties in our lives. There's also going to be disappointment in our lives. Those things will happen. And sometimes I don't think we tell ourselves or instruct ourselves how to handle these difficult things when they come along. And while we want the best for our kids, we need to let them know that these things will happen. Because how will they handle them when they come along? And unfortunately, because we don't talk about these things, we don't really try to bring God into this as well. You know, I just went through some of the things that we have dealt with this past week. And one of the things that I looked at was Carter and Tracy and I sat down, and one of the things Carter wanted to talk about was the conflict in Iran. And one of the interesting things about that is in this discussion that we had there with me and him and her, one of the things we asked is, why is this happening? Maybe you have heard tornadoes hit this week. You know, I was telling our visitors, I've been to Cookeville, Tennessee, and helped out when they had tornadoes touch ground. You know, for the longest time, there hasn't been tornadoes in Tennessee until then, it seemed like. But one of the things I found shocking this week is when tornadoes hit Tornado Alley, one of those places that hit was Michigan, which I don't recall ever tornadoes hitting Michigan. And maybe some of you have heard last night that in West Virginia, there was a tornado watch, there was a tornado warning out. And when do we hear these things happen? It's not a very common occurrence. Think about how I just heard about in Elkins where a young lady was in an ATV accident and it cost her life. Or the violence that's happened to immigration officials. Or you know, one of the things I find, it doesn't surprise me. When I used to go to Washington, Pennsylvania to preach, Jesse Jackson was on the radio. And it was never anything scriptural. It was always political. And it didn't surprise me when they did his funeral service. Guess what? It was all political. But the reason why I bring these things up, though, these very difficult situations, is I want you to ask yourself, when we come to unique situations that seems like we don't have the answers, or we struggle with the answers, or we struggle with these things that come along, do you ask yourself, how do we put God in this situation? You know, some people make the argument that Joel was a farmer. And because of the language, we see that, yeah, that could be a possibility that he is a farmer. But isn't it unique, though, when he talks to these individuals? I do not believe he's talking to royalty. He's not talking to the king's officials like Daniel or the people that is in the palace like Daniel. Or he's not talking to the people in Babylon like we see there with Ezekiel. I do believe he's talking to other farmers. And here, Joel is trying to bring this example how they need to know about God and need to come back to God and need to repent of their sins. And he is trying to tell this message to everyone. You know, one of the things you see there in verse 5, he's trying to tell us that we need to get out of this kind of this stupor state, if you will. He says there, awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, and all you drinkers of wine because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. He's trying to tell them here to get back in a serious, somber situation. Realize that there is some difficult things that's happening, and you do need to turn to God for these things. You know, one passage I always talk about is Luke chapter 13. If you've heard me preach long enough, you know at the end I talk about the importance of repentance. And the reason being I talk about the importance of repentance is because repentance is talked constantly throughout Scripture. You see it in Jonah. You see it in all these messages pertaining what Israel needs to do. They need to change. They need to repent. Jesus, his first message was repent. John the Baptist, his first message was repent. The thing that Peter talks about when they ask, what shall we do? He tells them, repent. There is a very important message about repentance. And the thing is, he wants you to know, Jesus wants you to know, that we need to change and repent or we will likewise perish. He brings two examples here that I've made reference to from time to time. One is about the Galileans, where the Galileans were killed because they was trying to have an uprising against Pilate in Rome. And because of that, at the time where they were making sacrifice, they decided they were going to go in there and kill them. And Jesus tells us here, he goes, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He goes, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. But he also brings up another example where the Tower of Siloam fell and 18 people were killed there in verse 4. And he says, do you think those individuals were killed because they were worse offenders than those who lived in Jerusalem? It wasn't about who had the greater sin here. It was about they were in sin. And if you continue to stay in sin, that's the very sad, tragic situation that they're in because they will perish. Folks, you want to know what the real tragedy is in our nation? It's not who's in the office or who's fighting who. It's the guy that won't change for God. You want to know what the real tragedy is? It's worse than a nuclear bomb falling on American soil. It's the individual that is not willing to change for God. That's the real tragic situation that we have here. There's a difference between one that will live in eternity and one that will live in eternal punishment. There is a difference of that, and that's why he is telling us this message. It is a call to change. It is a call to repent. Look there in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1. He tells us that, he goes, you put on sackcloth and lament. O priests, wail. O ministers of the altar, go in and pass the night in sackcloth. O ministers of my God, because a grain and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to your Lord. The thing is that there is a lot of bad things that we'll see here in Joel. If the pestilence is something that kind of worries you, the war with the Assyrians will. If that doesn't bother you, then you also understand there's a drought and famine going on in Jerusalem as well. You also see, too, that not only this is going on, but there's also a wildfire that has went out throughout Jerusalem. One of the things Tracy asked this week, she says, of all the places that God wanted to have the holy city, why there? Why is it in a kind of a desert place like Jerusalem? And I told her, I said, it's very simple. It wasn't always a desert place. It was a very beautiful place at one time. We even read about that in Isaiah, that how beautiful this place is. And now you had the enemy wipe out everything. And